Psalm chapter 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
The book of Psalms was Israel's Old Testament Israel's songbook. And tonight we're going to be singing songs to God. And it's interesting that three out of the four singing breaks we're going to have a little pause of Selah in them. And Psalm 46 is a song that has under as its superscription a song according to Alamoth, which meant, I think, a certain tune that was higher. The ladies would usually sing this, help and sing this tune. And you know, there are times where songs fit better some occasions than others. For instance, we might sing a funeral dirge low and slow, but a triumphant song we would sing higher, and it's more of the idea of being cheery. And certainly this Psalm 46, is a psalm of victory, a psalm of peace, and so it would be a song that would be sung higher and more cheery. And the background of this psalm is likely, most people that try to place it in history, likely right after God had delivered Israel from the Assyrian king Sennacherib. Assyria had taken the northern kingdom of Israel into captivity, and the southern kingdom was left all alone, and Assyria surrounded Jerusalem. And the king Sennacherib sent Rabshakeh, one of his officers, to tell the people of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, don't think that you can trust in your God. No other God is delivered from our hands, and your God won't be able to do it either. But Hezekiah stilled the people, and he prayed to God, and God sent that very night an angel to kill 185,000 of the Chronicles account in 2 Chronicles 32, says, of the mighty men, the officers, and the captains. And when the king, Sennacherib, woke up in the morning, they were all dead corpses, and he went home to regather, and his sons killed him while he was worshiping his false god. And so here they thought that they were going to be destroyed by this very powerful enemy, and yet God had delivered them. And then these words are written in the aftermath of that. And so I want you to think as we go through this, this idea that is all throughout the scripture, God delivers his people. He delivered them here. He's going to deliver us today. And so we can praise God for that. So Psalm 46 says here that God is our refuge. That means he is our place to go to. Whenever things are going bad in life, you know you can go to God. He's a haven. He's a refuge. He's a safe place that you can run to when everything else is trying to threaten you. And so God is our place to go. Notice, not only is he our refuge, he's also our strength. He's the power in which we can grow. A lot of times we try to trust in our own power. But the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, not our might. And so he's a power that we can grow in. He is also a presence we can know. Notice it says that he's a very present help, verse 1, in times of trouble. Hebrews 13, 15, God promises he will never leave us nor forsake us. He is always there. And while it is very possible for us, as we're living in this earthly life, to ignore God's presence, we know very surely that he is all around, and we cannot really escape his presence. A later psalm, Psalm 139, talks about that. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. If I ascend to the highest mountain, you're there. God is always there wherever you are, and he's there to help you. And so for those reasons, we should be thankful for God's presence. And when we ask, when things are falling apart, where can we go? Well, the Lord is where we can go to because he's always there. And so in verses 2 and 3, it talks about because God is there, even if your world is falling apart, you can go to him. And so it says, therefore, we will not fear though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried to the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, though all these things happen, though your world might be crumbling apart, you can go to God. He is a presence that is there in your life. And we can thank God for that.
Number 425. Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation sore, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Life here is grand, with friends I love so dear. Comfort I get from God's own word. Yet when I face the chilling hand of death, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord?
148 from the Songbook Annex. 148.
I am a sheep and the Lord is my shepherd, watching over my soul. My soul to keep guarding over me ever, watching wherever I go. And when the winds blow, he is my shelter. And when I'm lost and alone, he rescues me. And when the lion comes, he is my victory, constantly watching over me. He is constantly watching over me. We are his children and he is our father, watching over our soul. Great is his love for his sons and his daughters, watching wherever we go. And when the winds blow, he is my shelter. And when I'm lost and alone, he rescues me. And when the lion comes, he is my victory, constantly watching over me. He is constantly watching over me.
We looked at God's presence, and in this next section, verses 4 through 7, we see God's protection. It says in verse 4 that God uses streams to protect his people. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make the glad the city of God, and the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. You think about how God delivers water, continual supply of blessings, and that's a representation of how God is continually supplying our needs and continually protecting us. Notice also that God uses sunrise. Verse 5 says, God is in the midst of her, in the midst of his people, her city, his city. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Now, I mentioned Sennacherib surrounding God's people. In 2 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 35, it said that early in the morning, when the sun came up, that's when Sennacherib had realized that all of his men were dead. And that's also when the children of Israel realized that God had delivered them. And so very early in the morning. And so God is somebody that is there early. He's not somebody that comes late, but he's somebody that comes early to help and to protect his people. He not only uses streams and sunrise, but in verse 6, it also mentions that he uses speech. The Bible says, the heathen raged and the kingdoms were moved, and he uttered his voice and the earth melted. You think about how God created this physical world and the universe that surrounds us with his word. He spoke it into existence. And so God's word is powerful. Hebrews 4:12 says it is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints and marrows. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so if God's word could bring this world into existence, then God's word certainly could shake it. And so God spoke and the earth melted. And we ought to examine God's word and we ought to tremble before the speech of God Almighty. And then finally, he uses a stronghold. This is the second out of three times in this psalm, the short psalm, where it talks about God being a refuge. Verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. We can go into him like a castle stronghold and be protected from our enemies. And so we look at God's presence, and we also look at God's protection, and we praise him for such.
Number 90 from the Songbook Annex, As the Deer. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You're my friend and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
Verses 8 and 9 of this psalm tell us about God's power and how he's displayed it in the past. It says, come, behold, the works of the Lord. What desolations he has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. You think about the protection God has given. You also think about the power he has wrought in destroying his people's enemies. And so the desolations that he's worked in the earth and the wars that he's put to an end by his great power. I think of just a few examples. For instance, think about what God did in the Red Sea, parting the Red Sea and letting his people go by through as by dry land. Exodus 14:13, Moses said, today you will see the salvation of the Lord. And he wrought salvation for Israel. They made it through the sea, and then the great desolation of Egypt when all of their forces were drowned in the depths of that sea. Or think about the walls of Jericho. Jericho was this city that had these great walls that reached up to heaven. And God was going to give it to his people. And so when Joshua went into the land, in Joshua 6, verse 2, God says, "See, I have given into your hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor." It was a gift from God. They just had to do what God said to receive it. Just like God's victories for us today, they're a gift from him. We just have to follow his example. And so those walls came tumbling down flat, and the people inside were sitting ducks. God gave it as a gift. Or think about the time in Joshua 10 where several kings, five or six kings of the Amorites, was kind of like Canaanites, using as a general term for all the people of the land of Canaan. They fought against Israel. They teamed up against Israel. And the Bible says that God sent hailstones to destroy those people. And it's interesting, Joshua talks about in Joshua 10, verse 11, that more people died that day from hailstones than what the children of Israel slew with the sword. Now, that's some pretty serious hail, isn't it? And God also delivered Gideon in the time of the judges. You remember in Judges 7, God said, "There's too many that have come to battle, lest Israel vaunt themselves and says, my own hand has gotten me this victory." And so he sent those that were fearful home. And then he said in Judges chapter 7, verse 5, "There's still too many." And so he took them down to the river brink, and those that drank a certain way he kept. And 300 men God used to deliver his people. Or what about that shepherd boy that risked his life? He was despised by his brothers, but he risked his life in order to save Israel from the giant Goliath that challenged the armies of the living God. Recently we looked at how he pointed towards another shepherd, another David that would come, Jesus Christ, who not only risked his life, but gave his life so that we might have the victory over sin, even though his brethren hated him. And then finally, not only is God able to destroy, he's also able to preserve. You think about Daniel 3, the element there of fire, and how he was able to protect Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they said, "God will deliver us, and even if he doesn't deliver us, King Nebuchadnezzar, we're still not going to bow down to your image. We're going to serve God." And as they were thrown into the fire, Nebuchadnezzar had a window he could see, and he said there was one like the son of the gods in there among them, and no doubt that was Jesus Christ there protecting them. And a fulfillment of what the Bible mentions in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2, that they would pass through the fire and not be harmed because God would be there protecting them. Hebrews 11, the great hall of fame of faith, says in verse 34 that some people by faith quenched the violence of fire. And so God did all of these things because his people had faith in him. Do you and I have faith in him so that we can have the victory?
316.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Number 97, Faith is the Victory.
Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies.
against the foe in vales below. Let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, will vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.
Our memory verse for this week is, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted among the nations." And that's verse 11. And this is such a contrast to what we just looked at in God's power and how people in the past have leaned and trust on the everlasting arms for deliverance and God able to work in warfare. And now we have this contrast to be still. How is it that in warfare you have this situation of all this chaos going on around you and then you can be still? When you recognize who God is, then you can be still. There are two commands: be still and know that I am God. First of all, I think that we spend a lot of time busy with a lot of things in our lives, and we don't take time to be still. We don't take the time to be with God and to recognize who he is. We're so bombarded all the time with different images and messages and everybody trying to get our attention, and there are just so many avenues by which people can get a hold of us nowadays. It's just so difficult for us to take time and to be still. So are we still, first of all, in our thoughts? Philippians 4, verse 6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds by Christ Jesus." And so we are to be still in our thoughts, our minds focused on God, and have the tranquility of knowing that he'll take care of us. Are we still in our actions? Are we always trying to go here and there and do all of this and cram as much as we can into a day and never even giving a thought to God? Are we still even physically? You know, if we do the first two things, it will help us to do the third thing. You remember when Martha was so worried and fretful about preparing a meal for Jesus and for the disciples and her brother and sister? In fact, she was so fretful and so thinking of that and not thinking of the Lord, she was going to tell the Lord what to do. And she said, "Lord, tell my sister to help me get ready." And Jesus says in Luke 10:41, "Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled over many things. But Mary has chosen a better part, and that shall not be taken away from her." And so Mary was right to just be still and to listen to what Jesus had to say. Do you and I take time to worship God and exalt him and to be still and recognize who he is? When you know who God is and what he's done in the past and how he's this present help, this refuge for you, it will really help you go about your day-to-day processes knowing that he's in control. And then know this, he will be exalted among the people. There are a lot of people today that are vying for power, but guess what? God will be exalted. God will have the final say, and you and I can trust in that, and we can still our minds in that fact.
Our next song is number 406, "O Worship the King." We'll sing all three verses of this song.
O worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing his wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Thy bountiful care What tongue can recite? It breathes in the air. It shines in the light. It streams from the hills. It descends to the plain and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies how tender, how firm to the end. Our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend.
In just a moment, we'll be singing an invitation song, number 596. If you're following along in your songbook and would like to mark that, we'll sing all three verses of that song at the appropriate time. Our next song is number 2 from the Songbook Annex. We won't have the music notes on the screen, but if you'd like to follow along in the Songbook Annex, it's number 2.
Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the Lord that strengthens thee. I am the Lord that strengthens thee. I am the Lord that strengthens thee. In thee, O Lord, I put my trust. In thee, O Lord, I put my trust. In thee, O Lord, I put my trust. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God.
If you want this wonderful peace, then you have to know the Lord. Do you know the Lord Jesus? Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." We just looked at God's place, how he's exalted above the world. We know Jesus has overcome the world for us. And so if we know Jesus, we can have this wonderful peace that he offers. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says that we should not think it's a strange thing if we'll have tribulation or trial in this life. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12 says that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So as a Christian, it doesn't mean that you're not going to have any trials or tribulations or outward forces trying to get you to quit. But you have one who has overcome the world, Jesus Christ, on your side if you are following him. And so Jesus has overcome the world. He has given us the victory if we are Christians. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you don't have the victory. But Jesus is offering it to you. What you need to do in order to obey the gospel is believe that he is the Christ, John 8:24. Repent of your sins, Luke 13:3. Confess your faith in Christ before men, Romans 10:10. And be baptized in him, putting him on in baptism, Galatians 3:27. And then he will be your Lord, and he will have given you the victory. And if you're faithful to him unto death, Revelation 2, verse 10, you'll have that crown of life. Because he has overcome the world, and he gives you this wonderful peace. Peace with God, peace within yourself and peace with your fellow man are all available if we go to Jesus and let him give us the victory. And so if you have any sort of need, we beg you to come while together we stand and while we sing.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. I then obeyed his blessed commands and gained the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the street of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Be seated, please.